And it's in Habakkuk. Now, I don't know if you know exactly where that is. You may have to look it up. It's after Joel, and a little after that, after Nahum, and then you have Habakkuk. And they follow the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk. Now, it's a short series I have, God willing, about six messages. In a way, you'd be surprised that I'm taking these. They are unusual. For those who are in particular circumstances, they can be a comfort. But maybe for others, they might feel that's hard to accept. But it is in the Word of God. And in this book, remarkable verses, you know, the just shall live by faith is there. He has a pure eyes that he cannot regard sin. You know, the great verses that we know are in this little tiny book. So I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 1. Excuse me. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou not show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvellously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs, that are terrible and dreadful their judgments, and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap up dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over, and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgments, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, they're not long messages, so that is something. Now, if you want a text for the first one, I'll give it to you. It's chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, and cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? So you can see here a man is very concerned. His name is Habakkuk. He's a prophet. And he's greatly troubled by what he sees around him. And I think one of the reasons why I chose this, because we are living in similar days. That as much as it's said here, you can say, well, yes, we can understand that. There was no question regarding this man's faith. But he's overwhelmed by circumstances. And you think of today, we can be full of faith and strong in faith and live all our days and die in faith. And yet, when we look how things have declined in the lives of all of us here now, well, I think, yes, most of us anyway, and the older ones particularly, the change has been phenomenal in every sphere of life. Everything we valued has been devalued. I'm right, aren't I? Everything we honored, you know, has gone. And relationships, all sorts of things. I needn't go through them all. There's a problem. Since the church is God's, why did the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? It's from the Psalms, as you know. How had I Israel sunk to such depths? Why is a church of our Lord Jesus Christ as she is? Now, in the background here, Israel has sunk to great depths. And remember, they are the people of God, you know, but they have sunk to such depths. They honor nothing, respect nothing, and have little regard for God. And that's how it was. And if you think of Wales, England, or the whole of the island, really, we think, well, it looks all right on the surface. But if you stay anywhere for a while, you'll find it's not all right, you know. And you go, well, what has happened? I don't know if you listen to the news. I don't listen anymore because it is rather repetitive. But apart from that, if you listen to the news only, you'd just be filled with dismay. You know, it seems to be a whole series of murders and violence and wars and cruelties, all sorts of things. And everything seems to be collapsing. And that's how it was there then. Now, the book, this book, opens the eyes of the prophet midst of desolation. And in the midst of desolation, notice, he brings hope. Now, you may not think so, but actually, if you look carefully, he does. It's that kind of serious. You'll have to concentrate, you know. In the midst of desolation. So if you put a man today in any of the big cities, said, now, get on with it. He said, where do I start? Where do I start? Who do I talk to? Where shall I go? Who will listen? You know, Habakkuk was like that, in a day of desolation. Yet this man, somehow he's faithful. He brings God to the people. Now, where our faith fails is in its failure to see the hand of God. Now then, note that now. Our faith doesn't fail. Where it does fail is a failure to accept what God brings in our circumstances. And the failure to see the hand of God in our circumstances. Let's go back to a verse that I mentioned the other day, and you know it well. And just to help out with this, from Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, it's, you know, at first reading, oh, that's a nice verse. Everything's going to be nice for me. All things work together for good. Then you examine it a little closely. All things? Oh, but there are some things. Then you hear in some families, well, how are they coping? You hear that? And indescribable sorrows and heartaches. And sometimes, you know, within homes as well, in all sorts of situations. And I wonder if there's any office anywhere that is peaceful, you know? I really wonder. But here it's much worse than that, of course. It's to see, have I got the faith to see the hand of God when it hurts? When it hurts. And to say, thou doest all things well. And not just to say it glibly, but to say it from my heart. Now, this is the kind of spiritual man that we have here in Habakkuk. He does come to, at the beginning, he's overwhelmed by the circumstances. Where are you? Where's God? Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he wake Israel up? Why doesn't he spare us from our enemies? Why doesn't he do these things? Our faith doesn't fail. Its failure is to see the hand of God. I can't remember seeing a long time ago, because I started in the ministry at a time when the ministry was, well, I wouldn't say, I think they believed that the minister should never be well off, you know. And it was just a few shillings above the national assistance, really, the wage. And but you saw the hand of God providing. And I sometimes wonder, you know, with very, very rich people, I'm sure many of them are good people, do they fail to see the hand of God? Or when all is going well and we're healthy, do we fail to see I'm healthy because he's allowing it? Or do we blame him when our health goes? Do you see what I'm saying? Is to see the hand of God in everything and to submit. And to submit. Thou doest all things well. Now, I know I'm asking a difficult thing here, but it's not me that's asking. It's here in Scripture. And to see events and circumstances in the church in relation to our own spiritual progress as well. And to see, how does this affect me? How does it affect the church? And to have the good of the church. A church can break its heart, you know. A person can break their hearts. And what Habakkuk said, come now. Come now. Are not all things in God's hands? Even when they seem to be against you, you know, even at such times as that. Well, to understand that God never ceases to work out his purpose. Now, you know, I know we're going to sing this in a minute, and we know it so well. But nevertheless, God moves in a mysterious way. For what? Do you notice little lines like this? His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides, now where of all places, upon the storm. What a place. Now here, deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. See what I'm saying? In that hymn, deep down in the hearts of God, he's treasuring up his plan for his people. And although we may not understand, why are you doing that? Why are you using the chisel there? Why are you using the hammer there? Why? I prefer to have something smooth, like some varnish or something like that. Why are you using that now? And then another time is different. He says, I know what I'm doing. I am performing wonders. I'm refining a church. And I'm refining a people. Now, the problem with circumstances, he's a man of faith. Let me begin there, not doubting that. But he is at this present here, failing to see God's hand. Now, our faith, ours, stands on redemption ground. You know, Job said in one part, he said these words, even if you kill me, Lord, yet will I trust in thee. You know, remarkable. And we're often quoted, in the midst of all his sorrows of losing his children, and none of us like to lose our children, or our wealth, or our health, and so on. Yet he said, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and out of my flesh I shall see God. Job had understood, amazingly, but Job had. Habakkuk is learning. Now, then what is concerning us? It is the state of the church and the age we live in. Now, it really is, I find it heartbreaking that in Wales, 2 chapels a week close. And that's been going on for 15 years or more, 20. 2 chapels a week close. And are the others open? Well, the buildings may be there, and many have one service in a back room once a month, maybe. You know, when I think of a large church that I was minister of once, one of them is closed, and the second one, which had a very good congregation, has now one service a week and about half a dozen there on a Sunday morning. It's incredible. And when I was brought up in my early childhood, before we left Wales, one of the biggest churches in Wales, a really massive congregation there, has been closed for a while now. And weeds are growing up the door. A church that was the very heart of revival in that part of Wales. And you keep showing it, why, Lord? What has gone wrong? What has happened? Are you going to let it be just like this? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry? But how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? But what I'm afraid of, I hope I'm wrong, that we are tired of crying. And what is happening in many places is something like this. Well, we're keeping the doors open. We're maintaining there's a place here. The work isn't failing. We're not growing. Of course, death has taken many away and we're smaller. But we're keeping the doors open. But they've given up. They've given up. But they're just carrying on because they believe. But do they really believe in God? Are they believing there? There's a cry of anguish here. The burden with Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? A cry of anguish, a burden for the church. He cannot understand why he told the Lord, even cry unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. I'm telling you everything and you will not save. And there is no answer. All the prophecies in Israel amongst God's people is decline. And listen what he has to say, verses 3 and 4. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And they see that, and there are that rays of strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, the judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. That is, there's a breakdown in justice and in difference between right and wrong in Israel itself. In Israel, there's violence, injustice, and immorality. Remember Thomas Charles said, if we are not visited by revivals at regular intervals, the ministry will lose its luster and iniquity will abound. Well, I believe we are living in a time when iniquity abounds. It abounds. And maybe if I went to the House of Parliament, I made an appeal there. Now, would they listen? I would be politically incorrect. Wouldn't I? I would. Even if they allowed me to speak, I'd have to be very careful what I said, because I had to be politically correct. Is there anyone that will stand? And major people in well-known churches, what are they standing for? An institution? Or for the cause of God? Do you see what I mean? Now then. Our land is a similar story. Church struggling and it's ravaged with unbelief. Now, I hope it's not true in our hearts. The cry of the hearts, men and women who care, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Now, the purpose of God. Verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. I'm going to do something so astonishing that you won't believe, but it will be for your good. You will not see it, maybe. You won't believe it, but I am going to work amongst you. I am going to answer that prayer, but not in the way. Not in the way that Habakkuk would exactly have liked. God responds marvelously. His answer is same to the church or to the individual. John Newton said, I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith. In fact, I look at that now because it used to be amongst the young people when I was in Minnesota last, a favourite for quite a while. Then things changed and it ceased to become a favourite. You know, let me read it to you. I don't think it's a hymn we can sing. All right, I'm going to read this. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. Now, isn't that a good thing? Beautiful. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favoured hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. That's what I wanted. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, with his own hand, he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my goals and laid me low. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. What a stanza. Listen to it. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? Do you want to kill me? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break the schemes of earthly joy that thou mayest seek thy all in me. Remarkable words, aren't they? I don't think I have ever given that as a hymn to be sung. It's for meditation. Now, this principle in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So the reminder in that psalm is still here too, is to remember this one thing. God is in control. Now, are you worried about this global weather thing? Well, we must take notice and behave as we should. But who's in control of it? Is it not God? Are you worried about the recession that is coming? Well, we might well be. But who's in control of it? God's in control. Are you concerned about the countries that are starving, going through it terribly? Yes, and we must do all we can. Yet in some strange way, nothing is out of God's hands. The key, now listen to this quotation. It's a bit revolutionary. It's very good. The key to the history of the world is the kingdom of God. The story of other nations mentioned in the Old Testament is relevant only as it bears upon the destiny of Israel. Now think. The Old Testament nations there, their only relevance in existence is how they affect Israel. That's their only purpose. None other. And ultimately, history today is relevant and only as it bears upon the history of the Christian church. What really matters in this world is God's kingdom. Do you believe that now? Do you agree? From the very beginning, since the fall of man, God has been at work establishing a new kingdom in the world. It is his own kingdom, and he's calling people out of the world into that kingdom. And everything that happens in the world has relevance to it. What is the relevance of the event? Well, that is, what is the relevance to the event to the kingdom of God? That's in all the things that happen. His kingdom is his kingdom, and that's the one he is primarily concerned with. He uses the others, and many may be saved from the others, we know that. But all the others and all their backwards and forwards and ups and downs and so on are only relevant in as far as they affect the church of God. Now then, what is God teaching us now? He calls for an unswerving faith in the active sovereignty of God. Now, consider what this unchangeable, unbelievable response was. He says, I shall do work in your time, and you will not believe it. Now, how is he going to start on it? Where would you begin with such a wayward people? He raises a nation called the Chaldeans. They're arrogant, they're foes, they're spoilers, they're cruel, they're destructive. He allows this terrible persecution and allows them to swamp the land, and he allows adversity. Lord, how is this? We trembling cry. Do you want to kill us? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replies. I answer prayer for grace and faith. Now, this knowledge is overwhelming. But think of it any other way, it's devastating. If you think of it like this, if you think in the case of the Chaldeans, that they can have their way, it doesn't matter about God, they'll destroy God's work, that's terrible. Oh no, they may come and try and destroy it, but he will use them and use it for good. That in the end, it will be for the good of God's people. They will be the losers. Apparently, they will be the conquerors, but they will be the losers. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then the person of God. The prophet is profoundly aware of God. Remember that other hymn again. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The character of God. We have a glimpse here of the character of God with whom we are involved. Verse 12. Here we are. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God? Now, how big is your God? Is he just hovering over a little planet in a tiny galaxy, comparatively, in a little tiny weeny solar system? How big is your God? Do you believe in God as a spirit and the immensity of creation, and he's greater than his creation? He's our beginning without end. Do you believe in the vastness of the creator of God? And every characteristic of his will be in absolute perfection, and his wisdom is past finding out and will be perfect. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? Then he says, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. I can see now, I can see it. We shall not die. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. I see what you're doing now. You're allowing this. They think they're destroying us. But we know that we are being corrected and refined, and that thou art working thy purpose out. So his confidence now is not only faith in God, but faith also in the circumstances that surround him in his life. So we enter into that. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bird may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Now, what do you think? Strange series, and yet relevant. It's relevant for today. And maybe that when we see things happening, going to happen maybe slowly, maybe rapidly, in the history of the islands and the countries we are in, and in Western Europe altogether, I don't know. I'm no economist, I don't know any of these things. But I do know, as brought up in the 30s, in the Depression, the first sign was the failure to sell and buy houses. That was the first sign. Then the floodgates opened. You have not known poverty. I was speaking to a man on his way, taking me to Tonopandy the other day. And we were talking about the 30s. He was much younger. And he said once to his father, he ran home, he said, I'm starving. Don't you ever say you're starving in this house. You don't know what starving is. Say you're hungry, but don't say you're starving. Do you see the difference? When men have known and yet trusted. Now, what we must do, whatever may be, it may be quite different. He may bring a tremendous revival and everything be different. But this is a message of this book. And it's a good message. It's a good one. Because there are personal circumstances. There are personal sorrows. There are things that you think, you and I think now, I could never get over that. Well, no, you couldn't. But with him you can. And then slowly you'll see, he's refining me. God is working out his purposes. It is to submit to the will of God. So faith in God and faith in his dealing with circumstances in our lives, in the church, in society generally. Now, Habakkuk is quite a brave man, you know. He cried out in despair, first of all, towards the end of that chapter already, "Art thou not from everlasting?" I can see now, it's for our good, it's for our correction. And when you come to that place, then we are in a blessed place indeed. Now, I'll finish there. Took a look at